The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
You said in a speech that mourning in America that endorses perversion and calls it an alternative lifestyle, is your words, is being gay a perversion?
Senator, I when I was a politician, I had a very clear view on whether it was appropriate for two same-sex persons to marry. I stand by that.
So you do not believe it's appropriate for two gay people to marry?
Senator, I continue to hold that view. It's the same view.
And so people in the State Department, I met some in Africa, that are married under your leadership. You do not believe that that should be allowed?
Senator, I believe it's the case. We have married gay couples at the CIA. You should know. I treated them with the exact same set of rights.
Do you believe that gay sex is a perversion? Yes or no?
Senator,
Do you believe that gay sex is a perversion? Because it's what you said here,
Senator,
in one of your speeches. Yes or no? Do you believe gay sex is a perversion?
Senator, I'm going to give you the same answer I just gave you previously. My respect for every individual, regardless of their sexual orientation, is the same.
That's New Jersey Senator Cory Booker questioning Secretary of State nominee Mike Pompeo during his confirmation hearings. Well, is that relevant? Is Mike Pompeo's view on gay sex relevant to whether or not he ought to be Secretary of State? What does it have to do with it? We're going to be answering that question and talking about the grilling that Mike Pompeo got from Senator Cory Booker. Sharif Girgis joins us on this Friday afternoon. He's a PhD candidate in philosophy at Princeton University and a graduate of Yale Law School. He's co-authored the book, What is Marriage? Man and Woman, a Defense. Sharif, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me back.
Someone believes that sexual acts between same-sex partners are a perversion. Why should that disqualify them from serving in public office like Secretary of State?
Well, of course, I don't think it should at all. Mike Pompeo holds a view about which sexual relationships are appropriate, namely only those within marriage as a one flesh union of man and woman, that have been shared, that are shared today by most traditional Christians, Muslims, Jews, and that have been shared for literally thousands of years by people of those and many other religious and intellectual traditions and even non-religious traditions as in ancient Greece and Rome. So I don't think it should disqualify him. I think Booker thinks that part of the job of the Secretary of State is to push Cory Booker's views on sexuality and marriage abroad. And I think that's a fundamental mistake.
So it appears that Cory Booker is questioning this because of what has been practiced by the State Department during the Obama administration.
That's right. And I think that, you know, it's important to distinguish two different things. So it's one thing to say that the Secretary of State needs to fight for the equal dignity of all human beings, regardless of their race and sex and their sexual inclinations and desires and orientations and so on. I think that's absolutely essential. I think Mike Pompeo thinks it's essential. And that will mean, among other things, fighting against abusive practices against the LGBT community. For example, in countries where you can be executed for either identifying as a member of the community or having been found in a same-sex relationship or something like that. But Cory Booker wants to conflate, wants to run together that very important issue and stance and the importance of America's role in defending human rights, including the well of everybody across the board, with Cory Booker's own much more parochial kind of progressive ideology about sexuality and marriage, which says that if you are for a conjugal or traditional view of marriage, you're just as bad as the folks who think we should throw people in jail or execute them because of the desires they find themselves with. And that's deeply unjust.
How would one go about convincing someone like Cory Booker that one can be, I guess to put it this way, personally and religiously opposed to homosexual behavior, but still completely supportive of their civil rights and their human rights, both here and abroad?
Well, I mean, one way, I think, you know, Cory Booker has a political agenda. He's going to push that, and it's going to be hard to convince him not to. But I think one thing to see is that the tradition, in all of human history, the idea that you should care for and look out for the little guy, the oppressed, the marginalized, the most humble and meek in society, that was just a completely alien idea until the Christian revelation in first century Palestine and spreading out from there into Europe and beyond. So it's the same tradition that upholds the dignity of marriage as a union of man and woman that also upholds the absolute and sacred dignity of every human being as equal under the law and in society and before God. So it's one and the same tradition that upholds these ideals. And in fact, it sees the defense of traditional marriage as important for helping the downtrodden and the oppressed as well. And in protecting the dignity and the stability of marriage is essential for giving people the best shot in life at developing the virtues and developing in other ways that they need to live their own lives. And it's the same tradition in this case that's, you know, that he claims to be speaking for when he talks about the dignity of the oppressed.
The Washington Post story on this talks about Pompeo's view as not being an outlier. They say only 35% of white evangelicals support same-sex marriage, also citing the fact that according to a survey by the Pew Research Center, more than 6 in 10 Americans support same-sex marriage. Can we also make a distinction here between, or is there a confusion being made here by the Washington Post between support for same-sex marriage and one's beliefs, one's personal religious and moral beliefs about homosexuality?
Yeah, I think those things are being run together. You know, Booker asked Pompeo, is being gay a perversion? And then Pompeo said, look, when I was a politician, I had a clear view on whether it was appropriate for two people of the same sex to marry. So Pompeo was focused on the policy and legal issues, and Cory Booker wanted to conflate that. You know, he's basically, Booker is assuming if you think that there's a, that society should recognize only opposite sex relationships as marriages, so you've got a certain policy view, you're going to think, and notice how Booker said it. He didn't say that having same-sex relationships is wrong or that same-sex sexual relations themselves are wrong, but is being gay a perversion? Now, I can tell you right now that I've never met a person who thoughtfully espouses these views about traditional marriage who thinks that the mere fact that you've got a certain set of feelings makes you guilty of anything. So Booker is conflating the policy issue, the moral issue, or religious issue about the moral status of certain, say, sexual conduct, and then a rejection of the person himself or herself, or trying to blame them for having a certain feeling. I suppose that, you know, that probably just serves Cory Booker's political agenda, but it's deeply unfair. It's unfair, and it's a misrepresentation of the views of Pompeo and of the other evangelicals that the Washington Post is referring to.
Chad Griffin, who's president of the Human Rights Campaign, is quoted by the Washington Post saying, Mike Pompeo's longstanding opposition to LGBTQ equality makes him a reckless choice to lead our nation's diplomatic efforts. The decision to nominate anti-LGBTQ Mike Pompeo could have serious consequences for the United States and LGBTQ people around the globe. How do you respond to that?
Well, again, I think Chad Griffin is promoting his own agenda, the agenda he believes in good faith. He thinks is really important. But gosh, there's so much to pick at there. First of all, again, he is equating a view on the nature of marriage and the right marriage policy to have with a rejection of the equality, as he said, of LGBTQ people. And that's just a mistake. I mean, you could come back at Mr. Griffin and say, well, hold on. So for people who are pushing for polyamorous marriage, for the recognition of multiple partners as married, are you against their equality just because you think monogamy is a good ideal to uphold? And of course, you'd reject that. You'd say, no, it's one thing to say this is the best policy or this is the kind of relationship we want to celebrate. It's another thing to say I don't like certain people or I think they're unequal. with the rest. Well, we can say the same thing here. The fact that Mike Pompeo had a view and still has a view about the right policy on marriage doesn't mean that he's rejected anyone's equality. In fact, in order to say that he's rejected somebody's equality, you've got to first figure out what marriage is. Only then can you tell when we are recognizing it on an equal basis and when we aren't.
So there's an enormous case of simply assuming one's conclusion about the nature of marriage.
Exactly. And I think that's been the MO of the progressive movement on this issue from the start. They want to skip the debate and skip the argument and use buzzwords like equality on the positive side and then bigot on the negative side to shut down the discussion on this and to say that, look, if you believe in my dignity as a human being, you have to agree with my policy preferences on marriage. And there, and not just you have to agree with my policy preferences on marriage, but if you don't, not only am I not going to vote you into elective office to make laws, I'm going to oppose your having any position of influence or prestige in society. And I think that's really what's going on. The people like Chad Griffin want people like Mike Pompeo to be treated like racists. You don't give them fancy jobs. You don't allow them to climb socially. You make sure that they're punished in every way short of legal punishments for having views that you don't like. And I think that's a deeply, I mean, even if you're against Mike Pompeo on marriage and on sexuality and have different religious views from him, you should not want an America where we punish each other in these very broad-ranging ways for having views that we disagree with.
Can you explain to me why it is felt necessary on the part of activists on these issues, whether it be Chad Griffith, whether it is Cory Booker, to inject this issue into government proceedings, hearings, things like that, where ordinarily the thing could go off very nicely and with whatever outcome without the injection, without the inclusion of this subject?
Well, I think this is probably a pattern we're seeing across politics, where it's become a kind of all-out war, where any opportunity you get to advance your political goals, you're going to do it no matter how unrelated it is to the issue at hand. So if Cory Booker or Chad Griffin can further delegitimize traditional views on sex and marriage by using this platform, the Senate confirmation hearings, well, then that's what they're going to do. And I think you see this across the board when, for example, just to take an example from a few years back now, Mozilla Firefox's CEO, Brendan Eich, was, by all accounts, a stand-up member of the corporation, fantastic to all his employees, whether they identified as straight or gay or otherwise, and was made CEO and then was forced to step down when it came out that he had paid $1,000 to Proposition 8, the campaign to enshrine traditional marriage in the California Constitution, several years before that. Now, obviously, the only thing that matters in a CEO is how well he's running the company and how good he is to the employees and the stakeholders. And by everyone's account, he was fantastic in all those respects. But the left wanted to use that platform and that stage and the opportunity to spike his candidacy or to force him to resign from CEO to make a point about a completely different political issue that they just want to use every opportunity they can to advance. I think so. That's the sort of unfortunate fact of our polarization. People on the left and the right do it, and they do it all the time on issues that are not relevant to the situation in front of them.
I suppose one could make the argument that Brendan Eich's situation strategically made a little more sense because they had not yet secured the decision in Obergefell at the time, if I'm not mistaken. But the irony seems to be the strategy has only ramped up and they've had political and legal victories galore.
Yeah, and I think it's important to see that the goal is not just political. This is evidence of that. The goal is more than getting a certain policy result. The goal is making it socially illegitimate to have views like Mike Pompeo's. Basically, they want it to be the case that in the United States, you know, if you're a young person, you have ambitions, you want to make it to the top of your field, whatever that field is, doesn't have to be politics, could be in the corporate world, could be in education, could be in academia, that if you want to climb, you've got to at least be completely silent about these views, if not disavow them when you're pressed. That's the kind of America they want. So they can't just stop once they've gotten the political and legal victories they want. They've got to make sure that everyone is on notice, that you're going to be punished even in the professional world and in the social world if you speak your mind on these views.
We recently had your colleague Robert George on the program to discuss Martin Luther King Jr. and religion in the public square. He noted the irony that seems to be at play here as well, that there are those who will publicly praise Martin Luther King Jr.'s religious sensibilities when it came to civil rights, but then within the course of a week, in this case, condemn Pompeo's religious sensibilities in a public forum.
Right. I think that it's very often the case. I mean, you see it when the U.S. Bishops Conference, for example, will speak out on immigration or on the rights of laborers, the rights to organize, and other aspects of Catholic social thought that tend to be favored by the left, and they'll celebrate it, and they'll say it's wonderful that they're bringing their witness to bear to defend the dignity of the marginalized. And then as soon as they speak out for the dignity of the unborn, it's get your religion out of my space, get your rosaries off my ovaries, and so on. So there's a lot of double standard being applied.
Sharif Girgis is a PhD candidate in philosophy at Princeton University and a graduate of Yale Law School. He's co-author of the book, What is Marriage, Man and Woman, a Defense? You can purchase it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Sharif, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back on this Friday afternoon, we're going to be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got our four soundbites to play for you. And when we've played them, it's your turn to call and vote, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org, tweet at IssuesETC, or at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. We'll play the four soundbites right after this.
Scientism is not science. It's a dangerous and self-refuting philosophy that fixates on means but ignores wisdom.
Dr. Angus Manoj of the Evangelical Philosophical Society talking about his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
And it leads to the abolition of man as man is reduced to a material object. It's used as a weapon by atheists and skeptics to attack religion as a source of knowledge. It begins with Bacon's dictum, knowledge is power, but it overlooks the way in which power corrupts.
You can meet and hear Dr. Angus Manoj making the case against scientism at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th, 15 miles east of St. Louis in Collinsville, Illinois. You'll find a list of speakers, topics, and registration information at IssuesETC.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 8th and 9th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church of Terre Haute, Indiana is a congregation called, gathered, and strengthened by Christ's word and sacraments, confessional, evangelical, liturgical, serving our community and the students of Indiana State University and Rose Holman Institute of Technology, and reaching out to the nations as a congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Find out more about Emmanuel at www.emmanuelevluth.org.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. Ed Gruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at AdCruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.